Let me invite you over to the Gospel of Mark this morning, chapter 5, verse 20. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 20. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your church. And Lord, we pray for and ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And Lord, that you might build our faith, Lord, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be. And Lord, tell others about you and the saving grace that you've given to us, that souls might be saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. Lord, draw our hearts close to you, and may we worship you in truth and by your Holy Spirit. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "All Men Did Marvel." All men did marvel. And in our text this morning, we find a perfect example of the work of God's salvation taking place in the life of this man. So with that said, I want to ask a couple of questions this morning. Is God's salvation perfect? Amen. Amen? You believe that? Is God's salvation complete? It's not incomplete, it's complete. Is God's salvation his work? Yes. That's an important understanding. It's God's work. So he got us saved, right? Amen. He brought the conviction. He provided the way. It's all of his work. And so at every time, really, when you consider it, we need to be reminded it's still his work. It's still a continuing work in progress that he's doing. The moment you lift up the work or our hands to build that work, we defile the work of God. We can't do it. And we'll meet with failure and a misunderstanding. We were talking about this morning in the Sunday school class how the Sadducees believed there was no resurrection. And by the way, they were scholars of the Word of God. They were the academia of the day. And the Lord said, have you not read? And he corrected them that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And there's no doubt that he read, that those people read that more than once and came to the wrong conclusion because they were missing the God of the Word of God. They were approaching the Word of God in their own intellect, with their own understanding, and never even fathomed the idea that they could be missing something. And what they were missing, obviously, was not only God, but the truth, which is really comes from the Lord. So this morning, I want to look at a couple of things here concerning all men did marvel and what brought that all about. First of all, I want us to take a look at an uncontrollable man, and that's really mankind. Is not man uncontrollable within himself? He cannot control himself, but God can. And not only that, but then we look at the grace of God, and then witnesses moved, and then a saved man's plea. So notice with me, if you will, the first thought in verse 1, an uncontrollable man. Let's look at his history here. "And they came," speaking of Jesus and the disciples, "and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Now that's an important truth there. An unclean spirit, is that singular or plural? All right, now you need to keep focus on that, because you're going to find out he had an unclean spirit. This doesn't just talk about demonic spirits, but it talks about his own spirit was unclean. By the way, listen, our spirit, we're spiritually speaking, we're born spiritually dead. And it takes the work of God to bring life into our spirit. Now, we're alive. Our spirit is alive to the things of mankind, but the death part of it is towards the Lord. We don't understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God quickens us. So with that said, he says, he has this unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So this man was an uncontrollable individual. And basically, without the hand of God involved, that's how we are. We're not really controllable. We think we are to certain degrees and certain extents, but I would just say this. Everybody has a button that can be pushed. Am I wrong or right in that? Even the nicest of people have a button that can be pushed. And we can lose control and do and say things that we never wished we would do or say. In fact, I would wonder, not really, but you can go back in your somewhere in your history of your life, you would say, boy, I wish I would have never done or said that, right? Somewhere in life, you've done or said something you wish you never did. Well, this man, I mean, his fetters and his chains were plucked off of him. That makes it sound effortless, doesn't it? He had so much demonic influence that these things just fell apart, that were trying to restrain him. By the way, listen, everything that humanity tries to bring into the life of an individual without God will not restrain the individual, especially our eternal destiny. There's no restraints. There's nobody here on planet Earth that has lived or will ever live that will be able to restrain themselves. There's nothing that would restrain them from breaking the commandments of God. It's in our nature. It's in the fallen nature. And so here we find this man. He's uncontrollable. He's a man of death. He's among the tombs. And he's in self-destruction mode because he's without the Lord. And that's what humanity is all about, really. Without God, we are in self-destruction mode. You hear of people, we can want to do the right thing, but without God, we're still in self-destruction mode. There are people that have good ideas and might even be in agreement with the Word of God, but if they're not saved, they have no power to overcome self-destruction mode. Does that make sense? Listen, we can say, I agree with the Word of God. The Word of God is right. And if we're not saved in saying that we will never overcome what is destroying us. It has to be the grace of God and the mercy of God in us that makes that difference. Or we cannot save ourselves. Simple enough, right? We cannot save ourselves. Even if we agree with the Word of God, we cannot save ourselves. Even if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if we've not received Him as our own personal Savior, we cannot save ourselves. There are people that will tell you, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but if they've not personally received Him, they cannot save themselves. And so this is important. And so we find here that this man was in self-destruction mode because he was without God. And so notice what it says here about him. He couldn't be bound and couldn't be tamed. Neither could any man tame him at the very bottom of verse 4. Then verse 5 picks up and says, and always, not sometimes, and always, night and day. That's a long time, isn't it? And always, night and day. There was no reprieve. There was no break. He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Is this man in self-destruction mode? Absolutely. He's without the Lord. And he could not help himself. And really, that is a picture of humanity. Humanity cannot help themselves. You would think with all the self-help information that's out in the world today, we'd be a perfect society. I mean, there is no end to all the different self-help information you want. And some of the information might be fine, but it will not amount to anything worthwhile without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find this man, this uncontrollable man, and now we find the grace of God here in verse 6. Notice what happens. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. So he is still singular, this man. Ran and worshiped him, but we're going to find there's another entity involved in this man. And verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Did he know the Lord? Well, at least the devils did, didn't they? Somebody knew the Lord there. And notice what happens here. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Don't torment me. Isn't that amazing that people can come up with the idea, these devils did anyway, that Jesus is a torment? Do you think there are people in the world today that are adamantly opposed to the Lord because they see him as not a positive thing, but as a negative thing? And so he says, don't torment me. Verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Thou unclean spirit. There's singular again there, right? But you're going to find here there's a lot more demonic activity that's taking place. There's no contradiction here. There is one unclean spirit that had a host of other unclean spirits with them, with him. So, verse 9 we find here, it says, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, if you know anything about a legion is about 2,000 troops. All right? And that's fitting because you remember how many swine? There was 2,000 swine. 2,000 swine! That's not anything to sneeze about, right? That's a lot of pigs. And so he says, and he besought him in verse 10 much that he would not send them away. Now we're in the plurality here, but notice this, and he besought him much. So this is the unclean spirit, that he would not send them away out of the country. Them is plural now, right? Do you see the transition there? So this is giving you insight to how this demonic activity takes place. There's an unclean spirit that is heading up this whole situation here, but he's got a whole bunch of other demonic beings or entities there that are with him. And so he says, don't send us out of the way. Send them not out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils, now it's plural again, besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now, I will just tell you, I don't know that you can find out what the purpose was of going into the swine. We do know this, that the swine were, at that time, an unclean animal, that the Jewish people were not to have anything to do with the swine. And so he says, send us into them, this great herd. And notice what the Lord did here in verse 13. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave. Go ahead. And the unclean spirits, now, that were with this main one here, went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about, notice that, 2,000, and were choked in the sea. So this is, one devil for each swine. And I don't know whose idea it was I don't know if the devil said, man, we don't want any part of if the pigs said, we don't want any part of this, and they ran, or if the devils caused them to run into the ocean. I don't know what the cause was there, but I do know this, that it was their destruction, the pigs' destruction. By the way, they were destroying this man, and God was, listen, God's more concerned about a human being than the animals. I think we're to be wise stewards of animals, but that's what they are. They're animals. They're not like us. That might be a contradiction or a hardship for people to understand, but they're not. They're not the same. We ought to have more respect for life than we do. I mean, people get upset and I'm not saying you should be cruel. I don't think there ought to be cruelty to animals, but it's kind of a little bit bothersome. All right, maybe a lot. When people will make a big deal over an animal more than a human life. That should be troubling, because mankind, male and female, has been made in the image of God. And God loves all of us, and he does want us to have eternal life, but it's on his terms, not ours. Now that might be troubling to some people, but I want you to know God has the right to set things in order, because he is the author of life. Wasn't our idea to create the world. In fact, if it was, it would have been, probably would have never got started. Amen? We would have forgotten some things that we don't even know about that caused the earth and the moon and everything to remain in its orbit. and to stay where it's at, because he spoke all those things into being. And so God has the right to say what's right and what's wrong, and that makes people mad. Why? Why? Do they think they're smarter than God? Do they think they ought to be the ones, the arbiters of truth, when they're not even being truthful? There are people that willfully are deceptive and call that what they're doing truth. Are they? Is it not? Listen, they will excuse their lies. God's not like that. Why? Because he's righteous. There is no lie in God. It's the absolute truth. And so when you look to the Word of God, you can be assured of that. Listen, who would like to play a game? Have you ever played a game when you were younger and somebody may have made up a game and the rules kept changing? They kept changing the rules? That's a fun game to play, isn't it? It never works in your favor, does it? It's always in somebody else's favor those games work in. Well, that's mankind for you. God doesn't change the rules. His are absolute. They don't move. You don't have to worry about what's right and wrong yesterday. You don't have to worry about what's right and wrong today. You don't have to worry about what's right and wrong tomorrow, because God never changes. And there's stability in that. And by the way, there's prosperity in that. And there's freedom in that. God wants us to enjoy the liberality that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to be willing to come to terms to say, you know what, I want to believe, I'm going to align myself up with the Word of God. I'm not going to go ahead and excuse myself. I'm going to say, you know what God says is right is right, and what God says is wrong is wrong. And we, in spite of what anybody else does it matter really if you and I shake hands and agree, saying we can go ahead and lie, and we'll have this little covenant pact. We'll have this little agreement that we'll just go ahead and lie, and it'll be okay. Does that make it fine? A lot of people think that. You know, I can go ahead and just we'll just have this little agreement over here, and sometimes maybe they make a little agreement. They think they're making an agreement with the Lord. You see things how I see things. No, he doesn't. He sees things exactly how he's recorded them, so that we might know how he sees them in his word. Amen. With no excuses and no exemptions here. He says this is how it is. And so here's this situation with God's grace we're going to find here. And by the way, a divine appointment for everybody, because God is not willing that anybody should perish. So here's a divine appointment, an opportunity for this man. By the way, also for the devils, there was a divine appointment. It was their destruction. Listen, The accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, one day is going to come to his end. Do you believe that? It's in the Word of God. It's the truth. There's no doubt in my mind. Every evil deed that God calls evil is going to stand before him, whether they believe that or not. Now, the world doesn't understand that because they've not been made spiritually alive. And so this is a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, watch what's happening here to this man. And you'll see the difference. This man could not help himself up until this point. And so here's God's grace coming to him. And again, here are these 2,000, the pigs that went into the ocean. And then we find now witnesses that are moved. Now watch what's going on here. Is this a good thing or a bad thing that happened to this man? The devils, the unclean spirit and the devils are out of this man. The unclean spirit and the devils were the ones that were causing him to live amongst the dead and to be bound up and cut himself and hurt himself. So now you would think this is a good thing. It is a good thing. You would think everybody would think this is a good thing. And so now we want to see the witnesses that are moved here in verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled. Man, they were getting ready to talk about this man that had just been made right. I mean, this man was killing himself, and now he's in his right mind. It's a scary thing to be around somebody that's not in their right mind. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing for them. It's a scary thing for us, because you just never know what's going to happen next. So they that fed the swine, they fled and told it in the city, in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. So who are the they? The people that they went and told, right? All right, so now they come and to Jesus in verse 15 and see him that was possessed with the devil And notice, and had the legion. So did you see that? He was possessed with the devil and had the legion. You see how the word of God confirms itself? There was an individual unclean spirit, a devil, and then there's this legion there sitting and clothed in his right mind. The man was there in his right mind. All right, so what should be the response of these people? Because, by the way, I'm sure that he was a menace to them as well anytime they were in that area. And so there they see him. He's in his right mind. And what did they do? They prayed him that they would leave. So here it is. He's in his right mind. And so what is it? They were afraid in verse 15. Did you see that? And they were afraid. Why would anybody fear the truth? Maybe because they were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. Because they weren't supposed to be handling swine. Why does anybody fear the truth? Because there might be a little bit of guilt there. Why is it that people really don't want much to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because they're not willing to admit sin in their own life. And that's, there cannot be any reconciling until we're ready to come forth and how would you say, under conviction, say, Lord, I'm guilty. Cannot happen. And so here's the situation. I want you to see the mercy of God. You'll notice it here in just a moment. So they were afraid, and notice what they begin to do here in verse, this is their witness. This is what they're saying. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Here's the man that took probably the biggest menace in their society and put him in a better place to where he would now be a benefit to their society. Is the world doing that today? We are going to remove those that are upright and trying to do the right thing, and we're going to give accolades to those who are destructive. We're going to lift up those that are destructive, and we're going to ask those that are peaceable, that are wanting to walk in the truth, to leave our society. Is our world possibly there? Could we possibly be in that situation? What's the answer to that? Well, there is no answer but God. Man may come up with his own ideas, but it will come to no fruition or not the desired result. And so as we consider this here, they're asking him to depart out of their coasts. So we pick up now here and we find this man, he was saved. So how should the Lord look at that? Here's the Lord. Did the Lord do a good thing for this man? Did the Lord do a good thing for the society that this man lived in? Absolutely, he did. He did something. And now they're asking him, probably the leaders, asking him, hey, listen, you need to go. You need to leave. I want you to know, God knew this. Ready? They don't know what they're doing. And so he's going to do something for them that's going to be a blessing to this society that is asking him to leave. And this is, listen, why am I telling you all that this morning? Because Christ has saved you and I to be the light of the world. And if we've lost our light, and if we've lost our savor to the lost, that saltiness, then Jesus said it's good for nothing but to be thrown away. Now, God does not throw us away, but he's saying our witness is good for nothing. And until, just as these people had to come to this place to where they realized what they did was wrong, You and I, as a child of God, have to admit before the Lord, it's called confessing our sins before the Lord, that when we're not walking upright, when the grace of God and the mercy of God and the salvation of God is not visible in our lives to a lost and dying world, there's a problem. And we've got to be willing to tell the Lord, listen, Lord, your light is not shining in my life. Look at what the Lord intended to take place. So, verse 18 here. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So this man here that was possessed of the devil, he says, I want to go with you, Lord. That ought to be the desire of every born-again child of God. I want to go with you. But now watch what he's saying here. Now, we saw the witnesses, how they were moved. Now we're going to see the saved man's plea and the mercy of God. Look at this again. So he says, I want to be with you. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. He didn't allow him. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Let me ask you a question. Has the Lord done anything great for you? Do you have something to tell? God should have given us something to tell. But more so, listen, when he tells them, what's going to really grab their attention is what they're seeing. Because it is a poor testimony that can only speak words with no actions in their life. Let me say that again. It is not a glorifying testimony if we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ with no power in our lives. It's not a good testimony. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't tell people, but it would be a lot better for people to see the grace and mercy of God, and then we tell them about the Lord, because then they're seeing and hearing something that they don't see and hear all the time. The world is in darkness. The light of Christ, just a littlest bit of the light of God will shine in this dark world today. Just the littlest bit will be refreshing to that. Listen, as corrupt as this world is, just a little bit of the salt of God will bring a savor that they've not seen in a long time. So, he says, verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and notice, and hath had compassion on thee. Go tell them. And here it is, verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Remember those people that were feeding the swine? Remember the people of the city that came out to see what was happening, that bid him to go away? And all men did marvel. And all men did marvel. Who were the all men? Those people that told the Lord to leave. See, they saw something in this man that God did for him. God wants us to be the witnesses of what he did and is doing in your life and mine. And if it's not taking place, then we have to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, fulfill your work and your will in my life. But if we're not asking him for that, will the world ever see it? It won't see it. But if we've been saved and born again, we have the potential of God, the power of God and his mercy and his grace in your life and mine. If we submit ourselves and present ourselves a living sacrifice for God to do his will, that's what the world needs today, and that's the will of God. Through you and me, Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, as we surrender and submit to the Lord, all men, listen, will marvel. Didn't the Lord say, if I be lifted up, if I be exalted, didn't he not say, I'll draw all men? Are there people that are lost that you love? Friends? Family? Is there not a world that needs to see the grace of God? God's wanting to do a work in our lives, but we must desire to have it, or we'll miss it. So God wants all men to marvel because of the grace of God in your life and mine. I'm not saying God's not doing good things for you. I believe he is. You're here this morning. I believe God's doing good things. You have your health. We praise God for that, right? And you're here this morning. But God wants to do a lot more than just give you the physical things. He's given to you already his spirit to glorify himself and to awe you and I. That as we by the grace of God look to the word of God and understand what he's given to us, we walk in that liberty before a whole world that needs to see the salvation of God, if we'll have it. So this morning, God wants all men. May it be said of your life and mine that, you know what, they saw the grace of God. That will cause people to marvel. Not our goodness, not our grace, not our mercy, but his. Because our mercy and our grace is tainted with sin. God's mercy and grace is pure. And that's what he desires to have in each and every one of our lives, if we'll have it. Would you stand with me as we prepare for the Lord's invitation, being reminded that God wants to bring men to himself, and he wants to do it through your life and mine, beginning with salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and this opportunity, Lord, to worship you and to hear from you and to understand better what you want to do in and through us for your honor and glory and our blessing, that we might be a blessing and the light to our own families first, to our church family, and then to the world. And that all begins with salvation. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance, 100% assurance of the work of salvation that you desire to give to everybody, may you convict them of that need. But then, Lord, for those of us who do know you as Savior, may we realize that it doesn't just end at salvation. That's the beginning of what you want to do in and through our lives and what you want us to experience. Lord, may we call upon you to fulfill your will. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.